Today's reading comes from Joshua chapter 1, and it's on page 169 on the Pew Bibles. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's great to see you here at Barney's. And especially welcome you if it's your first time with us and I haven't met you before. It'd be great to catch you after the service. My name is Albie. I'm one of the ministers here. But before we get started, I'm just going to check, as I often do, and it often doesn't work. I'm just going to see if our clicker, there we go, it does work. We'll see how we go with that. Some of you might know these details. Let's see how well you actually remember, some of the picture here. In some ways, it was a trip of a lifetime. There were 11 ships all heading to the same place. It was going to be over 8 months at sea. They're going to start off in England, go to the Canary Islands, down to the Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and then off to South Africa before finally arriving in Australia. Over 24,000 kilometres on the ship. The whole venture would cost over $25 million. It wasn't cheap. This was going to cost a small fortune. And on this trip of a lifetime, in a lot of ways, their lives were going to change because of it, more than 1,400 people were on those ships. Some of them wanted to be there. Most of them probably didn't. Of the 48 people who were on these ships, 48 of the people would end up dying before making it to Australia. Now, what am I talking about? Anyone have any idea? I'm actually talking about the First Fleet. May 13, 1787. The First Fleet set out for Australia. Now, even though that was a long time ago, 238 years, it has a big impact on us here in Australia. It's hard to imagine what life would be like without the first fleet, how things would change, what would be different. And in some ways, the book of Joshua is like that. That was read out for us. Events from ages ago on the other side of the world, but it changes everything. Now, we're starting a new series today looking at the book of Joshua. It's going to carry us through effectively for the whole of term two. And if you're disappointed because we've been working our way through Matthew's gospel, you're just going to have to hold on. We're going to finish Matthew's gospel next year. But for the time being, we're going to be going through the book of Joshua. We're going to finish that by the end of term two. And so maybe a good question to start off with is why Joshua? Why study this book about a group of people a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away? Happy May the 4th to those of you who understand that joke. Let me give two quick answers to that question. Why Joshua? The first is that all of the Bible is God's word. And so any part of the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, it is worth reading. We've actually been making our way through the Old Testament. You might not have realized that, especially if you've joined us more recently. But we've been working actually through the first five books of the Bible. We did Genesis, and over the past 5 years, we've been looking at Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And Joshua comes right after that. So it kind of makes sense. We're just carrying on through the Old Testament. But the biggest reason is that even more than the first fleet, which is kind of a bit of a historical, trivial factor in some ways, the book of Joshua is going to speak to us. It's going to tell us what God is like. It's going to say to us, what does it mean to be the people of God? What has God done for us in Jesus? As we look at this book, there's going to be some challenging things along the way. We're going to see whole cities get destroyed. There's going to be supernatural things, things that don't happen ordinarily. The sun stands still. A whole river is blocked up so a nation can pass by. There's going to be some challenging parts. And I pray that this will be challenging for our lives. And along the way, that it'll be comforting as well. So with the book of Joshua in front of us, let's pray and ask God to be with us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your word, for all of your word. We pray that you might speak to our hearts and minds. Help us to see how you've worked through history in the time of Joshua and through history through your son Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. We're going to look at three things today. The outline there behind me. We're going to look at God's promise in God's people, and then God's people together. That's kind of where we're heading. And so first of all, God's promise. Now, it'd be great if you got your Bibles open in front of you. We're going to be working our way through that chapter, Joshua chapter 1. If you have any questions, write them down. There's going to be Q&A time after the talk. Take a look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, that's kind of a strange way to start a book. I can't remember reading a book that opens that way, saying, this person has died. But those five words at the start of Joshua, they are huge. After the death of Moses. Now, we're used to the idea of our leaders changing on a regular basis. At work, our bosses might come and go. We decide that we will choose our leader every 3 years. The last prime minister before Albanese to win two elections in a row was John Howard, 21 years ago, which makes me feel kind of old because actually none of my kids were born back when John Howard was prime minister. I'll dob one of my kids in for this. When I mentioned that fact, he said, John Howard, was your time? Made me feel very old. 3 years as a prime minister is a big deal. Moses has been their leader for 40 years. It's longer than some of you might have actually been alive. And it's not just that he's been the leader. It's who he was at the leader. What he did as God worked through him. Now, if we were reading our Bibles from beginning to end, the verse just before this one is Deuteronomy 34. Again, if you've got your Bibles open, just flip over to the page beforehand. Deuteronomy 34, the last few verses. Let me read verse 10. Since then, since the death of Moses, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. It is this Moses who has died. The Moses who did amazing signs and wonders, the 10 plagues, crossing through the Red Sea, water coming out of a rock in the desert. He stood up against Pharaoh and led the people out of Egypt right up to the edge of the promised land. And for 40 years, he's been leading them, guiding them, teaching them. And after 40 years, Moses is dead. It is a national catastrophe. This is a disaster. What is going to happen to God's promises? Especially when you look at the people of Israel. They don't have a good track record. Is that the end? Is that the end of God's promises? The promise to bring them into that promised land. Now, if you're an Israelite, you've just seen Moses die, you're on the edge of the promised land, it looks scary. And then we hear Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. And then to hear the promise, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you see what God is saying here to Joshua? No matter what has happened, Moses has died. For the Israelites, this is a catastrophe. No matter what has happened, the promise of God stands. And God stands by his promise. And if God stands by his promise, then your future, Joshua, your future, it doesn't depend on what you can see. It doesn't depend on how you feel. It doesn't depend on your strategizing, your resources, your strengths, your weaknesses, your imperfections. Your future depends on God keeping his promises. But lucky for you, God is in the business of keeping his promises. These are big promises, aren't they? That wherever you put your foot, Joshua, that's going to be yours. North, south, east, west, this land belongs to you. And there's another promise in verse 5. Just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Where you go, I'll be right there with you. Big promises. And if you've got your ears open, it reminds us to the promises that God says to us. In Matthew 28, at the end of the gospel, Jesus says to the disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so go and make disciples of all nations. And then the very last verse of Matthew's gospel, surely I am with you always to the end of the age. God is with you. Or Hebrews 13, verse 5. It uses the same words as the book of Joshua. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Why? because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. What a great promise God gives to us. In Matthew 28, Hebrews 13, God promises to be with us always, forever. In the second part of the promise, the land that we look forward to, it's not this little country on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea, it's heaven itself. That is our promised land, whose architect and builder is God. No matter what happens, no matter the catastrophes that come along, the curveballs that life throws at you, it could be the health issues that you're facing, getting older, broken relationships, broken dreams, the promise of God stands, and God stands by his promise. The one who has authority, not over the Mediterranean Sea, the one who has authority in all of heaven and earth, he's with us, keeping his promise until heaven itself. That's what guarantees our future. Not our share portfolio, not our marks at school, not the economy or the leader that we have, how smart we are, how good we are. It's the God who's in the business of keeping his promises. It shapes our future. It guarantees our future. God's promise. That's point number one. The second thing I want us to see is God's promise in his people. In other words, what does God's promise do in his people? Take a look at verse 6. God says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do you see what God's promise does in his people? There's a couple of things going on here. First of all, God's promise produces faith. God's promise produces faith. Someone makes a promise, our response is either we reject the promise or we trust them. God's promise produces faith. Three times, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. And in case we missed it, it's there at the end of the chapter as well. The people say to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Everything about Joshua's circumstances would petrify him, and it would terrify us. Moses, that great hero, the one who did amazing thing, has just died. It's always great to follow a great leader, but Moses has passed away. The Israelites, they're about to enter a land, and the land is not empty. There are people there, and the Israelites have to defeat them. These people are strong, they're big. That's the reason why the Israelites ran away in the first place. And the people inside that land, they haven't been wandering around the desert. They've been building fortified cities. They have the best weapons, the latest weapons that money can buy. That's what Joshua could see with his eyes. It would terrify anyone. But then he hears the promise of God. This land is going to be yours, wherever you put your feet. God is at your side. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Now, if that was enough for Joshua to put his trust in God, to be strong and courageous, how about us? We who have bigger promises, we who know where this story ends, we who know the promises in the death and resurrection of Jesus. What is there for us to fear? he who did not spare his own son? How will he not also graciously give us all things? Be strong and courageous. Here is our confidence. Here is our security, our strength, our courage. Have faith in the promises of God. God's promises produces faith. And faith in God's promises produces obedience. Take a look at verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Verse 8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You see, if I hear the promise of God, I respond by trusting him. And if I trust what God says, then I will obey him. Faith and obedience, they're not opposites. They go hand in hand. Obedience is trusting God. Disobedience means we're not trusting God and we're trusting in something else. Now that's fairly easy actually for us to fool the people around us, to fool them to say that we trust in God. All you need to do is to come to church X number of times and people see you around enough, say the right things, agree with the general vibe, you know, agree with what's being said up front, sing the songs. And to make it worse, we can even fool ourselves. That is easy to do. Especially if we've been coming to church for a long time. I'm good. I've got a bit of God as long as he saves me. But there's something missing with that kind of faith. Here's the test. Here's a test if we really trust in the promises of God. Do we obey him? Do we obey him? If my kids said to me, "Dad, I trust you completely. Whatever you say is completely right. We know that what you say is going to happen." Now, my kids wouldn't say that because I'm not completely right, but hypothetically, if my kids said, "Dad, I trust you completely." And then I said to them, "Actually, this is for your good. Crossing the lights here, that's where it's safe." And they say, "Yep, you're right. You're right. That's the safe place to cross." And then they ignore me and decide to play crossy road with the traffic. That's not trust, is it? If they disobey me, they're not trusting my word. They're not trusting me. Do we do that with God? If we trust in God's promise, we will obey him. And just like Joshua, we'll meditate on God's word day and night so that we know how to live. Have you been meditating on God's word day and night? Or has that dropped off the radar? Is there an area of disobedience in your life as you hear this, that you actually need to deal with? It might be something to do with our sexuality or the fact that we're chasing after money or career or study or anything in front of God, not meeting up with God's people. This morning, if there's an area in your life where there is disobedience, don't just ignore it. Do something about it. And that word is repentance. God's promise produces faith, and faith leads to obedience. God's promise. He's a God who keeps his word. God's promise in God's people. It produces faith and obedience. And last of all, God's people together, which is the rest of Joshua chapter 1. Now in verse 10, Joshua orders the officers to go tell the people to get ready. We're leaving in 3 days' time. And then he says to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, some of the people, he tells them to join the rest of Israel in taking possession of the land that God is giving them. Now, what's going on here with these 2.5 tribes that Joshua is talking to? See, back in the book of Numbers that we looked at last year, these tribes, they already had their inheritance. It's on the east side of the Jordan River. So as they've come up, they've got their inheritance already. That doesn't mean that they can now just sit back and watch the rest of the Israelites go and fight hard for the land. It's not for them to just sit back and go, well, we're in, we've got our prize, we're okay. Good luck to the rest of you. Verse 16, to see what they say. They answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. The start of the book of Joshua, it starts on a high note. This is Israel working together, working as a body, working as one unit. There is no such thing as an individual in the people of God. It's a little bit like a cycling race. When you go to the Olympics, there's different kinds of races. So there's the individual cycling races where you go as fast as you can, and if you're first past the finish line, then you win. That's great. Once you're past the finish line, you get to relax, you're okay. That's not the picture of the Christian life here. It's not an individual sprint. This is the team pursuit. Now, if you know what that means, it basically means that there's four bikes going around the track. And if you get there first, it doesn't matter because it depends on how your team goes. You can't just run off and leave everyone behind. You've got to work as a team. So you get there together, you make it past the finish line as a team. It's not hard to see the lesson here. For the Israelites to help the other tribes take possession of the land. And for us as Christians, it's help our brothers and sisters take possession of the land. But the land here is to make it to heaven, to make it to the end and to get there. Now, how do we do that? It's not by dying for the other person on the cross. Jesus has already done that. It's not by forcing people into heaven. But what we do is that we carry each other's burdens. We see how we can serve each other, who we can serve. We look around the church and we see who's missing here from church. The person who used to be here last year, but we haven't seen them for a long time. It means that we go to growth group. We serve in kids' church because we want them to make it to the finish line as well. We do whatever we can to help the brothers and sisters around us to keep following Jesus and to make it to the promised land. The people of Israel, these 2.5 tribes, they understood. Whatever you command, we'll do it. Wherever you tell us to go, we'll go. How about us? How about us? Do we care about the people of God together? Or are we running individually? Where's all this going to head as we draw things to a conclusion here in Joshua chapter 1? I haven't gone to see a movie for ages. I think the last time I went to see a movie was before COVID. So it was a little while ago. What I used to hate when I went to movies, I used to hate watching the trailers. You know how they have all these trailers to show you what movies are coming up so you can get really excited about that? When there used to be trailers, I used to shut my eyes. Not because it took so long, but I didn't like to know what's coming up. I'm actually going to give you a preview of what's coming up here in Joshua. So shut your eyes if you need to, but this is actually going to be helpful. Hopefully it's not a spoiler to you. Israel does make it in. We're going to see this verse actually in a couple of months' time, but I thought this is a clear theme throughout the book, and it's good for us to know from the get-go. So when it comes, that verse, it's a big verse. Joshua 21, let me start reading from verse 43. The Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give the ancestors, and they took possession of it. And verse 45, not one of all the good of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Every promise, every one was fulfilled. God makes big promises. And he stands by his promise. He keeps every one of them. He keeps the promise of the gospel. That in Jesus, we have forgiveness in his name. That we have a relationship with God. We have God with us. Our promised land is heaven. God keeps his promises. Maybe we need to hear those promises again and again and let them just sink in so that we will be strong and courageous. We will live a life of faith, a life of obedience, and we will do that together. What is it that God wants you to hear this morning? Big promises. It has to make a difference in how we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are a God who makes big promises. We thank you even more, Lord, that you are a God who's in the business of keeping your promise. Father, we pray that you help us to see how big your promise is to us. The way that you would encourage Joshua, you give us even greater promises. Lord, we pray that through your Spirit, you'll help those promises sink into our lives. Help us to be strong and courageous, that we might live a life of faith, that our security is in Christ, that we live a life of obedience, that if there's an area in our life, Lord, that we are disobeying, help us to repent and to do business with you. Father, help us to do that together, to be your people together, to encourage those around us so that we will all make it to the end, because that end is good and it is glorious in the Lord Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen.